part of our lives that we're designing is really rooted in knowing who we are and really knowing who we are so that everything starts there. And I think the better you know yourself and the better you create ways to continue getting to know yourself, that becomes a practice that you keep yourself first and center. And we're not accustomed to doing that. So really finding a way to work on yourself and continue doing that as you go.
And welcome back to another episode of Women Over 50, A Life Redesigned. My name is Shelley, and I am so glad that you have joined me today. I have a special guest again, Michelle Horton, the founder, CEO of Always Chasing Better Coaching. This is the second in our four-part series of Getting Your Shit Together. Michelle and I talked about how our generation, we were conditioned to check off certain boxes. So if you checked off the box of a good career, a stable relationship, a nice home, you know, you think you've really got your shit together. Michelle and I were able to check these boxes off, yet we knew deep down inside we were not living our best life. So in this episode, we talked about how to get really honest with yourself while having self-compassion and aligning all of this with your core values. But before we get started on this episode, I want to remind you we have a Facebook group, Women Over 50 in Life Redesign, 6,700 other women in there. Links down below. Come join us.
Hey, Michelle, how are you today?
Hey, Shelley, I'm good. How are you?
I am good. So this is our second episode in a series that we're doing about getting your shit together. So I'm super excited to be doing this with you. Michelle, you're just a wealth of knowledge and have really worked on getting your shit together as I have. So I think that we can talk to this, to our audience, and hopefully help some people with this episode. So today we're going to talk about really who are you right now? And part of that consists of being honest with what's going on, what's happening in your life, the things that you're doing, acknowledging them. So would you say that was accurate description of being honest on the things that we need to look at?
I think so. I want to back up a little and say something about something we talked about before. And in this series, we're talking about an S, an H, an I, and a T. So I think when we talk about getting our shit together, sometimes we think, well, I have my shit together. I'm doing just fine. I'm doing just fine. But what we're really saying is, there are things that we can do in our lives that might feel like we're getting our shit together, but really it's just helping us live our greatest life, especially this part of our life, right? We've made a lot of mistakes. We have a lot of history up until in our 50s. And this is the time where we get to kind of sit back in that, but it's also a good time to take stock. And I think that's what the S, the self, in getting our shit together is really taking stock in who we are today. And getting brutally honest is not easy, but I think it's easier when you're over 50 because there's nothing to lose.
Yeah. So how do we start being honest with ourselves? Because, you know, when you were talking, I was thinking, going back my decades in my head, and I think sometimes we're honest and we try to acknowledge where we are, but we do it in the context of, oh, how can I say this? We think we're being really honest, but it's in the context of dysfunction. So
yeah,
I found myself telling myself back when I was, you know, 40 and stuff that I do have my shit together. And here's why, because I'm doing all these things, but it was in the context of not really where I'm at today, if that makes any sense. So
yeah, it totally does. It totally does, because particularly our generation, we're used to checking off the boxes. If we can check off all these boxes, then we've got our shit together, right? If we've got a good career, if we're in a stable relationship, if we have a nice home, if we can check those boxes, we think we've got our shit together. And this is exactly what we're talking about in getting brutally honest with yourself. And this is what I tell people when they're doing this work, and it's something that never stops, ends, by the way, as you know, when you can feel something in your gut that you don't want to think about, that's what you need to get honest about. So I'll give you a perfect example. I was in a marriage for a long time, over 30 years. A person who from the outside looks like a great guy. I mean, people that know him, still know him, really like him. He built a successful business. He's a good guy. I hated being married to him.
Yeah.
But people would tell me, even a therapist told me, you know what? You know, this is how marriage is when you're in your 50s. This is just how it is. And so, but there was still this nagging in me that's like, this isn't really right for me. And so the things that make us uncomfortable to look at and to think about are the things we need to turn into. Our reaction, you know, if it's something, getting brutally honest is uncomfortable. So if you drink too much, if you are really disgusted with how your body is, if your relationships are in chaos, or maybe just the most important one is in chaos, or you want to get along better, if there's something in your life that's causing you pain, really being brutally honest with yourself means you turn and look into it instead of running away. Because there's a lot of shit we've been running away from it once we get to our 50s. Trust me, I know.
Yeah. Another part of that too is, I think being honest with yourself and acknowledging it is also part of taking responsibility for your life, where you're at. So it is uncomfortable, because I have spent a lot of time over the past decade, and I still do that. Like, yeah. I've had some moments over the weekend just recently, and I was like, oh my God, I don't want to do this. I'm not like that really. But then, you know, once you acknowledge it, that you're honest with yourself about where you are, is this where you want to be? This is how you want to live your life. And then you have to make that decision on taking responsibility for it and moving forward.
Yeah. I think that's huge.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Taking accountability, taking responsibility, saying, yeah, this is something that I can do something about. I think there's another piece to it too, that we haven't talked about. You and I have talked about it at other times, but there's a big self-compassion piece in here, right? Whenever we are looking at our lives through a lens of honesty, like, I really want to be honest about this, about myself. There's also a part of us that needs to be gentle and needs to say, it's okay that you do this. It's okay that this feels crappy. I think that's a piece we forget. We're all about being honest, right? We hear it with our friends. Well, let me just be brutally honest with you. Well, can you have a little compassion when you do it? Do you have to give it to me both barrels?
Yeah. Yeah.
But we tend to do that to ourselves, right? And I'll be honest with you. And we start naming all these things and working through this work, but there has to be some compassion too, that I can love and accept myself the way I am today, even though I'm flawed, even though I call it flossom, kind
flossom.
Of a combination of flossom
and awesome. Yeah. I love that word. And here's the thing that I do that I actually started practicing many, many years ago, after, I think it was 2008 when my dad died. So I was at the house taking care of him, and I'd gone through the mom and dad's photo albums. You know, back in the day, they had those, you know, fold albums where you put the photos in and you stick them on top, and now they're all creaky and yellow and stuff.
Yeah.
So I found a bunch of pictures of myself when I was in school pictures. And for some reason, I honed in on my second grade photo. So I would have been seven, eight, something like that. And I took it, and I actually have that with me, you know, like in my office here. And so when I am really feeling down on myself and I need to make some changes and starting being honest with myself, and I really get down on myself, I'm horrible at self-compassion. I'm horrible at it, Michelle. But then I think about that little seven-year-old girl. So I actually talk to her, whether it's the photo or in my head. And I think, now, what would this little seven-year-old Shelly be feeling if I talked to her that way?
Yeah.
So that's one trick that I use. Just go back to my seven-year-old self and talk to her like I would talk to myself like a 59-year-old woman.
Definitely.
Because we're shit to ourselves sometimes. We're so horrible to ourselves sometimes, but I would never talk to a seven-year-old that way, ever.
Actually, anyone. some of the things we say to ourselves, we would never say to anyone. Uh-huh. It's funny you should say that, because not too long ago, I was doing some work with a client and I said to her, I said, just out of curiosity, just record what you say to yourself throughout the day. When you say something to yourself, not everything, just a couple times an hour, even, it is mind-boggling the hum of things that are going on in our mind throughout the day that we're not even conscious of.
Right.
And being able to be compassionate for yourself and say, oh my goodness, this is really bad. I want to change this about myself. I mean, that's part of being honest too, is being vulnerable. Like, I don't have it all figured out, and that's okay, because no one else does either. Dr. Kristen Neff is a leading researcher on self-compassion. I would definitely recommend anybody who struggles with that to look into her work. She even has a self-compassion test, which really measures three parts of self-compassion, really lets you hone in on where you're lacking and where you have great strength. But it's an interesting concept. And when we talk about resilience and being able to overcome circumstances, difficult circumstances, the greater the self, our capacity for self-compassion, what we're finding is the greater the resilience. So you think about when you tell your story, your train track story, you know, you had some resilience there. There was something in you that said, no, this isn't it. You know, when I left my life behind, I didn't know where I was going, but there was some part of me that knew that I was headed in the right direction. And I think that comes from having some capacity for self-compassion, whether we nurture it or not is a whole other thing.
That's an excellent point. So what we're looking at right now is being honest with what's going on in your life. And it's not like you have to tell the world, hey, Facebook, I drink too much. I weigh too much. I eat whatever. This is it. This is for you. And acknowledge it. We will put, Dr. Kristen Neff?
Kristen. K-R-I-S-T-I-N. Yeah. She does a lot of work with Brene Brown. So if you're a Brene Brown fan, you'll like Dr. Neff too.
Okay. I'll put that down in the show notes. And then find a way to practice some self-compassion, whether it's talking to your 7-year-old self or recording yourself during the day. I think you'll be surprised at what you're really saying, because when we go through the day, everything's almost by rote. So we don't really realize we're doing it. But when you record it, you're like, holy crap. Did I really say that during the day?
And honestly, I want to add one thing to that too. Those are also the things, when you look at what you're saying to yourself, those are the things that you need to turn toward and start looking at where, you know, before you want to be honest with yourself, because those are the things, those are those deep wounds that 7-year-old child that you're talking about is carrying around. And being honest about that is difficult, but necessary. And I wanted to add something else too. When we say that, you know, you can keep it personal, I totally agree. There are some things that just saying them to yourself out loud is really powerful, but there's also a lot of power in sharing your story. Even if it's with one other person who can just sit and listen, there's something about hearing yourself tell your story. And one of the things I do with people all the time is when I first start working with them, we write a version of their story. Like, write the story that you're telling. And at the end, when they exit coaching with me, that they write versions very different, which is amazing.
Yeah.
Same circumstances, just a different perspective.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good tip. I like that.
Yeah. You know,
and another thing that I think is important, we both think it's important, actually, with who I am right now, is what are your values? You know, what are you living in your life that is a non-negotiable for you? I've worked many, many years ago, I worked with teenage girls and dating violence. And one of the things that I would tell them is, what do you stand for in your life? What is the important things that you want to accomplish as your little 14-year-old self, you know, today, not 20 years from now, you know, but today, what do you want to accomplish? And that is your fence that I always tell them, that's your fence. So you're going to walk along this fence, and a friend over here says something or does something that doesn't align, that gets you off the fence. You have to say, no, thank you. And it's hard when you're 14, but it's also hard when you're 50, you know,
yes.
It is. I found that out,
absolutely,
you know,
is.
Yeah. So it's, they're non-negotiables. And I have an exercise that I'll put down in the show notes that's really, really simple. And I've done this exercise with women and like back in the day when we could do live workshops. And I've had so many women just cry during this workshop because they'll do the core values. They're being really honest with where they are and not necessarily living these values that they want. And they just cry because part of the exercise is, what is the percentage of your life that you're living this value you want to live? Is health important to you, but only 5% of your day is working on your health? Is finance is important to you? Is fun important to you? And they look and they're like, well, it is important to me, but I've not made the time to do that. And they just cry because it's like when you put something tangible on paper, you're like, I am not living this, but this is what I want to live. It just makes everyone incredibly sad. So values, which I like the word non-negotiables because it's the framework for you. And our values change as we grow. Like family's always been a value to me, but it's different now because my youngest is like, I don't know, almost 33. So if my kids call me on the phone, I'm like, I don't want to talk to you right now. I love you, but the way I treat my family now when they were 5, 6, 7, it was an entirely different thing. So our values change as we go, as we get older, the way the format or the way that we work with them may change, like family, for example. But I like the word non-negotiable because it allows you to say to yourself or to whoever, you know, that just doesn't fit in my plan right now.
Yes.
Don't say, I'm sorry. Just say, that does not fit in my plan right now. My non-negotiable is I have chosen to stop drinking, or I have chosen to, take care of my finances or whatever. I'll drop that exercise down below.
I like that assigning the non-negotiables to it, because I like to think of values or non-negotiables as like a compass, and we want to stay true north, right? We want to stay true to ourselves. So having those non-negotiables articulated somewhere, even written down, and you don't need a whole, you don't need 25 of them. You know, if you know what your top 3 to 5 non-negotiables are, and every time you make a decision, if you can align your decisions with those values, instead of being at the whim of other people, you start being true to yourself. And if it doesn't fit in your values, then you have a choice. Is this something worth my time or not? But I like the idea of those being non-negotiables because they are something that you get to set. They're unique to you. I mean, other people have them, obviously, but you get to prioritize them. You get to choose which one's most important and you get to choose how you use them. But I like them because a lot of times we're living on autopilot. And as the day happens, we're just reacting. But if we're clear on our values or our non-negotiables, we can navigate the day a little bit more intentionally. Yeah, I'm not going to deal with that. That doesn't affect me at all. I'm not going to deal with it. That's going on in my family. It really doesn't have anything to do. It doesn't rank in my values being a part of that. Of course, now they're going to mow the lawn. So I don't know if you can hear it.
I can't. Yeah, they do that here all the time. I'm like, did you just mow the lawn 2 days ago?
It's been raining for 3 days, so I'm not surprised. And of course, the sun is scorching. I haven't seen the sun in 3 days, but...
Well, it looks beautiful on you, Michelle.
Welcome.
That's how I'm going to feel here in about 2 weeks, I'm sure, when the sun goes away for 4 months.
Yeah.
So, and you know, another thing too about being honest about who you are, who you want to be, how you want to live your life, and then look and also figuring out your values. If you're not living that, it's so crucial to live that, because if you're not, then that leads to, as I have found and you as well, Michelle, behaviors that are detrimental to you, whether it's actual tangible, like eating, overeating or drinking or engaging in unhealthy behaviors, or up here in your head.
Yes.
But, you know, non-tangible items. So you could, and I think the older you get, the more you feel that pull to be who you are, but you don't really know. Well, first of all, you don't know who you are, but then you don't really know how to get there either. Yeah. So being honest with yourself, acknowledging some of the things that you could really improve on or change that would make your life, help you create the life that you love. What's your non-negotiables? How do they relate to who you want to be?
I want to add what you said. When let's connect the values to the first thing we talked about and being honest with yourself, because I see this a lot with women that we want to change our bodies, right? So if you're a woman that like me, who's been on this diet craze since 11 years old, right? Because our generation got these weird messages about how skinny we were supposed to be when we were younger. And in my values, there isn't anything about, none of my values are about being skinny.
Yeah.
My values are about being healthy. Well, I can be a size 16 and be healthy in my body, in my life. And part of combining your values with being honest is this something that's being, is this an expectation that's being placed on me? Because a value comes from the inside out.
Yeah.
It is not something that is conditioned in you from the outside in. And a lot of those messages we get about our bodies and how we're supposed to look and beauty and health, that we, those all come from the outside. But if that isn't important to you, it's not one of your values to be a size 4 anymore, then we've got to work on a way to kind of move that to the bottom of the line or down the line a little bit, because it's not a value.
Yeah. Being skinny is not a value.
No, he's everywhere.
When I was in sixth grade, which would have been 1971. My friends and I remember my friends and I going through the lunch line with our trays, and the lunch ladies back there, and we're like, we're on a diet. I mean, we were all like, weighed 85 pounds wet, if that.
Yeah.
But we're like, no, thank you. We're on a diet. And the lunch lady's like, oh, no, you're not. And she's slapping food on you. Like, you're going to eat this. You're not on a diet.
Yeah.
You know? So that kind of really bothers me now that I think about how my 11-year-old self was on a, we were going to go on a diet, for God's sake. So yeah, it's a great point. Skinny is not a value. And the thing about the exercise that we're, I'm going to put down below for our listeners to work through is that you look at a whole bunch of them and then you just lump them, like you lump like values and come up with the overall theme. So like health would be an overall theme.
Yes.
If that, but what that looks like for you, because yeah, I'm not going to get on the health skinny bandwagon, but anyway, because that's a whole other thing. But I think that's an important point you make, though, about what does health look like for you.
Yeah. And you just said something that triggered another thought. When you look at the categories of your life, of yourself, health, finances, personal, professional, you kind of categorize your life like that when you're looking at your values.
Well, we are at our self-imposed time allotment anyway. So let's.
That went fast.
Well, it always does. Cause
yeah.
I love talking with you about, I love talking about this stuff anyway. I know people probably think I'm a real weird person when I don't like to engage in how's the weather talk, but anyway, so any parting words you want to wrap this up for us?
Yeah. I just want to remind folks to be compassionate with themselves, but that this journey really all is rooted, you know, this, the next part of our lives that we're designing is really rooted in knowing who we are and really knowing who we are so that everything starts there. And I think the better you know yourself and the better you create ways to continue getting to know yourself, that becomes a practice that you keep yourself first and center. And we're not accustomed to doing that. So really finding a way to work on yourself and continue doing that as you go.
Yeah, I agree. Great, great way to end this. And we would love your thoughts on this. If you've done the exercise, if you've been honest with yourself, you don't have to give us any intimate details, but we'd love to know your thoughts on this. You can, I'll drop an email down below, shelly@shellydryman.com, and just let us know. So, okay, friends. Thank you, Michelle.
And thank you. See you soon.
We will see all of you in our third series, third episode. Yay. Thanks.